Welcome to Talos Takes, the quick take podcast where our researchers break down this week's hot topic in cybersecurity for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Talos Takes. I am once again joined by my friend and coworker, Joe Marshall. Joe, thanks for coming on again.
Hey, man. Always good to be here.
So Joe and I are going to be talking about SolarWinds today. Everyone at this point has probably heard the word or name SolarWinds thrown out by now. This was a breach that started back in December and has only grown in scope and still remains in the headlines today. And Joe recently contributed to a blog post that's up on Cisco.com that I'll be linking in the show notes at the blog posts that go along with this episode, so you can check it out. And I wanted to have Joe on to kind of expand on some of the points he made in that blog post. So, Joe, when we talk about SolarWinds, a lot of people, the biggest thing that's making headlines right now is the targeting of government organizations, because it's always a big deal whenever the U.S. government's under attack and folks can make a lot of headlines out of that. But what are some major takeaways that you have from this outside of just, oh, crap, a government agency was targeted by a likely state-sponsored actor?
Right. Well, the I tend to side with the underdogs, with the little guys on this, a bit more sympathetic to the United States government, which has, frankly, unlimited people and resources when it really wants to spend that, right? If you think about the initial SolarWinds infection, forensically, the best they can prove is either late February or sometime in March when the actual SolarWinds company was compromised, and it wasn't really disclosed until December 14th of last year of 2020. Not all enterprises, but some enterprises simply just don't keep forensic logs to that duration. It could be 30, 60, 90 days. Maybe they offshore their telemetry into like a Glacier or to a deep storage in the cloud that they can pull. But given the size of some of these very large private entities and enterprises, unless there's a regulatory reason to keep logs that long, they're just not going to do it because it's money, it's time. Excuse me. It's a lot of things that companies have just weighed the risk and said, you know what, we're good with whatever we have. So you're operating in a sort of a Schrodinger's compromise, right? You know, you may have downloaded the infected binaries, the compromised binaries from the SolarWinds for the Orion platform, but you're unsure forensically if you can prove anything beyond that initial command and control reach out to the AVMS cloud. Wrong domain name, but the initial C2 domain name before phase two happens, where you then were contacted one of the more bespoke C2 domain names for then hands-on keyboard compromise. So it's a tough spot to be in. It's a real, real tough spot to be in right now. And we're going to be unpacking this just for a really long time, both forensically and trying to, frankly, ascertain just the amount of damage that's been done.
And one of the things that you covered in the blog post I mentioned was how this attack is kind of broader than it would have been previously, because something that we're faced with now is we have all these devices connected to our networks. And you could take that from an IoT standpoint of, you know, what the average consumer has in their homes. But the thing that you are specifically focused on and what your background is in industrial environments and operational technology. So what can you tell me about how those types of third parties that have become involved in those processes and those third party devices are playing into this?
Sure. That's a great question. That blog post was kind of generated as a moment to think, well, you know, a lot of organizations, especially some of your bigger ones, just might panic and they go, oh, gosh, we have SolarWinds. What do we do about it? And you get really hyper focused on the threat, whether or not the risk or likelihood of that you have been targeted past phase two is debatable at that point. And instead, I kind of wanted to just lower the temperature just a bit and say, whether or not you fall within that category, something like the SolarWinds compromise, if it's applicable even or not even applicable, is a way to think about your internal security if something like this were to happen or has happened and you want to figure out how do we remediate and go forward. The sort of the subtle difference between IT and OT is that OT, operational technology, has a lot of unique equipment, like, right? So whether you're in a petroleum plant or whether you're in an electric utility, you're going to have a lot of industrialized pipes, and you're going to have programmable logic controllers, and you're going to have substations, you're going to have distributed control systems, you're going to have all kinds of interesting technology platforms that are unique to your environment. But a lot of the layer three communications that go on, they're switches, they're routers, they're commoditized IT products that everyone in the world is familiar with, like Windows and, of course, Cisco infrastructure, which is very popular and common in that space for industrialized systems. The management platforms for those are almost exactly identical to what you would see in an information technology network. And that's why SolarWinds was so concerning to me from an operational technology perspective, right? And I'm dating myself a bit here, but in the early 2000s, when I just really gotten into the IT workforce, SolarWinds was a thing even back then. It's an old, the company SolarWinds and the product, the Orion platform, has some real longevity to it. As time has marched on, the SolarWinds product, the Orion product, has just further deepened its tendrils inside of IT networks as a network management platform. Well, OT has the same problems. So SolarWinds Orion can be easily and probably is being used to manage infrastructure assets inside of an operational technology network, right? You cannot, even with this, you just cannot summarily rip out the Orion platform. It's what lets you drive business imperatives inside your enterprise so that your IT and infrastructure folks can do their jobs. So you're in a real pickle if, you just can't easily summarily turn this off. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So now you have to figure out, how do I live with an evil and then modify my risks in my enterprise appropriately? And it's a tough question. There's no easy answers there right now, especially when you have a huge network management platform that bridges both IT and OT.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that you mentioned was that there's a lot to still unpack here, and that this is something that has been unfold over months, if not years. So what is still left out there? What are some big questions that are still lingering for you that you're waiting to see some answers on?
Less on the technical side. I got to give a hat tip to organizations like Microsoft and a lot of other vendors in this space who have really gone out of their way to do a pretty deep analysis, technically, forensically, of the malware from Sunburst that was used all the way down to the phase three communications with their custom Cobalt Strike beacon that was launched, and the actual adversary's OPSEC was incredibly strong and good. Game knows game, right? So we look at that and go, wow, these guys really had their stuff together. What I think is really going to expand or unfurl out is the assessed damage of what was actually taken. The word's been mum very, very much about, especially from a government standpoint, well, what did they get and what did they take? And then what is the jeopardy to, say, the country or to private enterprise? And there's just a huge amount of question marks right there, either because they don't know or they know and they can't talk about it. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. And I think there's also going to be some lingering supply chain distrust. How do we stop this from happening again? What are the regulatory and vetting concerns that are going to happen if I have, Microsoft Windows or another prominently used commoditized product inside of my infrastructure? How do I know you are not the next victim of a supply chain attack if I'm the customer who needs to have that assurances? Again, these are super difficult questions to have. And I have to give a hat tip to the adversary here. Picking SolarWinds was a genius move. It really, really was, because it integrates into Active Directory. It does patch management. It does asset inventory management. It does the access control and permissions. That's why it's so deep into the networks. You just can't live without it, because it's really effective at what it does, the Orion platform. So yeah, it's a hot mess. It really is.
So speaking of the hot mess then that we have to kind of clean up now, I'm going to leave you with this last question, which is, we always talk about detection and response, obviously, because that's our end of the deal. Mm-hmm. So if someone out there is worried that they could be affected by this, like you mentioned, SolarWinds products are involved in a ton of processes and a lot of people use them. So if you think that if you have literally no idea, even if you've been affected, what are some baseline steps that folks can do to basically check to see if they've been affected, and any other defense stances that they can take?
Right. Well, fortunately, there's a lot of forensic artifacts that were generated from the Sunburst campaign that occurred when the malware attempted or did the put the malicious DLL on the actual machines. The Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency, CISA, or CISA, has a really great document that I would highly recommend everyone go look. Maybe we can link to it. Basically, it gives you three levels of concern. One is which you got lucky, you dodged a bullet, you did install the malicious patch. Two is you installed the patch, but you can't forensically prove they went past that. And then three is, you have confirmed additional command and control that's happening. If you fall within any of those specific buckets, they give very, very nice guidance on what to do about it. From a more broad perspective, there are no easy answers here for a defender, primarily because actors are really good at using they seed domains, and they do it social media misinformation. So they don't use an alphabet soup at .xyz. They'll do I think what gallerycenter.net, which is a very benign looking IP or domain, and it's been around for forever. So you would not look at that and go, well, that's clearly malicious. I'm gonna block that. No, it's they're very smart about generating assets for their operational security. So rather than say looking at new domains that traverse your network and then thinking them suspicious, think of specific areas of your network that should not be talking either to the internet or should not be using new URLs with a frequency that maybe would generate a level of concern for you and your risk. Things like maybe where your Active Directory clusters are, or databases that you are pretty sure. And ultimately, that always flows back to know your assets and then know your data flows, what's talking to what and when it should be doing it more or less. Again, these are fundamental questions that every enterprise has to wrestle with. But if you have a good, strong ground game there, you're doing very well. You're going to have a good recipe for success, I think.
All right, well, thank you so much for all this insight, Joe. This has been incredibly helpful for someone like me who has a very surface level understanding of a lot of this stuff. And so I'm sure for any practitioners out there, it's been even more helpful. So thanks as always for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always happy to chat.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Talos Takes. Please join us next time where we talk about something else that's top of mind for us.